Begin the current daf, set this erech in daf yud gimel. Begin 13 lines down with the tab of the yamin, where the Gemara goes back to a statement that was mentioned the previous daf, which related to the halacha that we had introduced because of we spoke about in our previous mishnah regarding the shira, regarding the levim singing, how many instruments. So we said that we wanted to ask regarding two different questions. This came up regarding when do we apply the shira to the levim. Regarding one question was regarding the is it only a oilas chayvus of the tzibur, is even by nedava. So we wanted to bring a raya regarding a halacha that was mentioned that a bad thing happens on a bad day, good thing happens on a good day. That is the Churban Beis Rishon, the Churban Beis Sheni were in the same year, the same day, which was on Matzah Shemitah, a year after Shemitah year, which on that was introduced a question that how do we understand that calculation that the second Beis Hamikdash and the first Beis Hamikdash was the same? The Gemara said it's Rabbi Yehuda, and how do we understand the first Beis Hamikdash, which this teaching, this price was introduced regarding that calculation. With Gufa, we had learned, Shiva Asar Yevlis Mani Yisrael, Mishanichnesu La'aretz Vatshayetu. There were 17 Yevlis, which a Yevlis is a every 50-year period, and regarding to laws of the agriculture and different halachas, that the Jewish people counted from when they entered Eretz Yisrael until they left, meaning by the Churban Bayis Rishon. Now, says the Braisa, but you can't say that they started counting right when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, because if you say that they started counting right when they came in, Nimtza Bayis Char B'tchilas Yevil comes out that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in, as we had explained from Rashi, in a Yevil year. Now, v'yata meitzi, but that wouldn't qualify for what the pasuk says that the Navi Yechezkel had said, ba'ar be'esrei shana acher asher huksa ir v'chulu, 14 years after the city of Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, which, as the Gemara had proved, it was Yevil year, because it says it was Rosh Hashanah, but it was on the 10th of the month, which year, which when you have Rosh Hashanah, the 10th of the month, that's a Yevil year, when Yom Kippurim is like when it really starts, that's when they had this prophecy. Wait, but according to the calculation, it comes out exactly, if you start when you come in, and it comes out equal numbers of 50, comes out as a Yevil year, not 14 years after the destruction in the Yevil year. So rather, v'chulu etc., which the Gemara, the Braisa says, that, because for 14 years we didn't count. The first 7 years when they were conquering Eretz Yisrael, and the next seven after that, when they were dividing Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't counted. And that's what the Gemara was discussing regarding Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't come out like that because it doesn't count the Yevil year as a separate year. That was the discussion we had brought it in for. Now the Gemara goes back to clarify this price and says, Shevish Akivish Benolan. Where do we know that for the first 7 years when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were conquering it, and again, therefore, they weren't counting the Shemitah and Yevil yet. Says the Gemara, the Kama Kalev, because Kalev said, as it's brought in Sefer Yeshua, Ben Arbam Shana Anechi, B'shalach Moshe Avdi Eved Hashem Isi Mikodesh Barnea L'Ragelas Ha'aretz V'Gomer. He says, I was 40 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu sent me with all the other Meragim, the spies, to go from Kodesh Barnea when they were in the Midbar to spy out the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, and he says, Va'ata, now, Hinei Anichi Hayoyim, today I am Ben Chamesh Rishmein Mishana, I'm 85 years old. Now, V'amamar, the master said that Shana Rishayna, the first year when the Jews were in the Midbar after they left Egypt, Asa Moshe Mishkan. Then they made the tabernacle. They made the Mishkan. Shniya hukam Mishkan. And the second year was when it was finally erected. V'shalach Meraglim. And that's the year that they sent out the spies to Eretz Yisrael. Now, if that's the case, ki avar yardin Kalev bar kamahava. So when they crossed over the Jordan after the 40 years in the Midbar, how old was Kalev? Bar tamnin nechi tartin. It should be 80 minus 2 because from when the sending of the spies till they went to Eretz Yisrael was only 38 years. Besides, if you don't count the year that they were sent out, because in the second year of when they left Mitzrayim is when they were sent. And he was 40 years old then, 38 years later, would make him 78. Now the thing is, however, kikomaflik nechal is coming, but this passage we quoted before when they were dividing the inheritance of Eretz Yisrael, he said, ben chamish reshmainim shana noichi, I am 85 years old. 85, it should be 78. Commentary, it's all they're dividing it. Eshtakech, the Sheva Kivshu comes out, there's 7 years missing, that were the 7 years that they conquered it, and only after the 7 years did they divide it, and therefore it was 85. Says the Gemara, and Vesheva Shechil Kuminol, how do we know that for 7 years they divided? Because that's what we said, to get the calculation that the Churban Bayis Rishon was in the 36th year of a Yevil cycle, and only 14 years later was the Yevil year. How do you get that? So Ibai Sim, if you want, you could say Mindeshev Shekivshu for the fact that they conquered for 7 years, Sheva Chilku, they divided for 7 years. Or Vibai Sim, if you want, you could say Mindeloi Mishkachaslu for the fact that you wouldn't be able to have the calculation of the Pasig that he says, Arba Esrei Shana Achar Asher Huksa'ir, the 14 years after the Yerushalayim was destroyed, that Yechezkel should be 14 years later saying that he had the prophecy in the Yevil year. If you don't take away 14 years for the Kibush and the Chiluk, you wouldn't get it. And therefore, if we know there's 7 years that they conquered, so you left with 7 years that they divided Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Now the Mishnah is beginning a similar theme as the previous Mishnah is, where the previous Mishnah is speaking about the minimum and the maximum. So our Mishnah is speaking about minimums but not maximums. Says the Mishnah, "Ein peichsin, we don't do less. Mishisha tloyim hamavukarim balishkas atlam. We don't have less than 6 pre-checked lambs that are in the chamber of lambs, which are the animals ready to be used for the karbanis in the Beis Hamikdash. Kedei l'Shabbos uliyam teim shoresh Hashanah. The amount that would be necessary if you had Shabbos next to a 2-day Yom Tov, which even in Yerushalayim there was a 2-day Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, that would be 3 days. And every day has 2 tamidim, korban tamid shel shachar and shel ben abayim. So that would be 6. So you would have for that Shabbos and those 2 days Rosh Hashanah those 6 lambs. Umisiv v'nadoilim, and you could increase however many pre-checked lambs you want, but you have to have at least 6. So to continue the Mishnah, in peichs in mishtecha tzeitzis, that the Levim, when they did the avodah, they didn't have less than 2 trumpets for the Beis Hamikdash, and mitisha kineris, there wasn't less than 9 harps, which Rashi says not clear. We explain why they needed 9 harps. Umisiv v'nadoilim, but they can increase as much as they want. But tzitzel levad. There was only 1 symbol, and not more than that, and the Gemara will explain the reason for that. Now the Gemara asks, the Gemara's assumption is that the halacha of the Mishnah that says that you need to have 6 pre-checked lambs, when it says for Shabbos and 2 days of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, that it's specifically for that reason. Why do you need to have 6? Because if it would happen to be what's called a 3-day Yom Tov, you have Shabbos and 2 days of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to be able to check it when it comes to Shabbos, so that they should have ready lambs to be able to use the Avodah. Therefore, you have to have 6 in case of that type of circumstance. On that, as the Gemara, but if that's why you need to have 6 because of such a situation, Timidin Umasaf and Tuvahava, it's not enough to have 6 lambs. There's not just the tamidim of 2 of every day. There's karban musafim on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, so you would need more karbanis. How would it help to have 6? Says the Gemara, no tana ba'amakai. The tana of the Mishnah is going in general. Any day of the year, you need to have 6 pre-checked lambs, not because of Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, rather because of the halacha of ben bagbag that we're going to shortly quote. Va'tamidim l'chudekai. And the tana of the Mishnah is going specifically on the daily sacrifices. What does it mean when he says for Shabbos and Yom Tovim? That's simana ba'alma. That's just a mnemonic that one should not make an error in his learning, where one should mistake and think, oh, then you'd have 4 or 5. Therefore, it says these 3 days, which you remember. Oh, that's how much you need in 3 days. You need 6 tamidin. This is what the Tana of the Mishnah was saying. Ein peichs in mishisha tlaim. You don't have less than 6 lambs, as we continue to mitbeis hamu b'vukarim that are pre-checked. Belishkas, and the reason we have to pre-check is to make sure there's no blemishes, because you cannot be makar of a blemish carbon. Belishkas hatloim in the chamber of the lambs are ba'yam kaid mishchita 4 days before it's slaughtered, and that is why you need to have 6 always, is because they inaugurated the Mishkan, so they put over there right away 6 lambs that were already checked 4 days before. As we can surely explain what's the necessity of that. But when they had those 6 lambs, on the first day they took 2 for the 2 karbanos tamidin. Then, that same day, they then replaced it with another 2 animals that were checked that day. On the second day, they then took 2 of the remaining 4 from the first day, and they replaced it with another 2. On the third day, they took the last 2 from the first 6, and they replaced it with another 2. And so too, that cycle continues ad infinitum, that where you take 2 and you put 2. And then it comes out that those that were checked and were put in on the first day, well, then when it comes on the fourth day, then those were already checked 4 days before. And so too on the one that was put in the second day would be then eligible in the fifth day, and so too, and so on and so forth. That continues, where it comes out every carbon tumma that is slaughtered was already checked 4 days before it was slaughtered. If you count with the day that it was checked and the day that it was slaughtered, that makes for a total of 4 days. Because as the Gemara explains, a mani who's a Tana by Mishnah, ben bagbag he. It's ben bagbag. To sound like learn the Braisa. Ben bagbag oimer, minayin l'tamid shetoin biker, arba yom koyin mishchita. Where do we know that the daily sacrifice needs to be pre-checked 4 days before it's slaughtered? Says, Tamalem, because the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, where it says that command the Jewish people and tell them that my carbon, that's my bread, for the fire offering, which is a pleasant aroma for Hashem, referring to the carbon tamid, tishburu lahakav liba me'adu, you should safeguard it to sacrifice it in its designated time, which is every single day, whether they're in the state of tumo or even on Shabbos. But it says tishmur. Lahal no'emer, there's a pasuk in Shemais that says, v'hoyu lechem limishmeres, also the same word, should be for you a safeguard, which this was on the 10th of Nisan, until the 14th of this month, which is that Malah Halanjusik over there in the Pesach of Mitzrayim. Ton Biker Arba Yom Kedem Shechita, they had to check the animal. They were already prepared on the bedpost 4 days before, on the 10th of Nisan, till the 14th, which was 4 days before it was slaughtered. Afkanos over here by the Karmel Tavim, where it says, Tishmeru Ton Biker Arba Yom Kedem Shechita, it needs to be pre-checked 4 days before it's slaughtered. Now, that's the interpretation Rashi says that he heard, but he says that what bothers him is that it's not really comparable then the way we're interpreting it to the 4 days before Pesach, because there, like we said, it was checked on the 10th of Nisan and was slaughtered on the 14th. That's 4 days besides the day of the slaughtering. But the way we described it, that the 6th comes out that it's only 4 days with the day that it was slaughtered. So Rashi actually says that on the day that the inauguration was, actually 8 lambs were put over there. And although we say in the Mishnah that there are 6, what it means to say is, when we say there's not less than 6, it means to say that even on the every day when you take away 2, there's still going to be 6 that were already checked. And then later on, at that night, you check 2 and you put it over there. So it comes out that all those other ones, that when you take away the 2, means to say that really there's going to be 8, and therefore it's going to be, you're going to have it, another 2 to go another day later, and it's going to actually be 4 days besides the day of that it's checked or that it's slaughtered. Another interpretation Rashi brings is that when the Gemara says Simona Ba'alma, that when it says Kedei Shabbos V'yamtiv, it just means like it's a mnemonic, is that just like when it falls out Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah near each other. So then those that are going to be brought on Tuesday, you have to check already on Erev Shabbos, because you can't go now suddenly on Tuesday and go ahead and find the lamb to go ahead and check it, and you can't be doing that on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. So that's going to come out. That was 4 days before it's slaughtered. So that's what we're saying in general, that you have to have it 4 days before it's slaughtered. And says the Gemara Dekanami, that the answer that we're giving is precise too, that when the Mishnah says Kedei Shabbos V'yamtiv, it's just a mnemonic. It's not because literally for such a situation or such a circumstance when you'll have Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah near each other, because Diktani, the words of the Mishnah are Kedei L'Shabbos. The amount that you would need for Shabbos and Yom Tov, for like Ketani, l'Shabbos, it doesn't say that you could have it for Shabbos and for 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which that would sound like literally you need it for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. But the fact that it says Kedei, what that sounds like is according to that calculation that would be necessary for a Shabbos or Rosh Hashanah, which that means to say 6, that's the mnemonic, Shema Mina, and therefore that's exactly like we're saying, that's why, you're right, for Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah you need more than 6, for all the Musafin. It means for any day of the year you need to have 6 pre-checked 4 days before. Mishnah said also that what we don't have less than Mishticha Tzaitz is 2 trumpets for the Shira of the Levim. Or my Sifim Chulim said we could add on as much as you want. Says Gemara, Advad Kama, how much? So Amrav Huna, Vamrilan, some say it's Amrav Zavdi Amrav Huna, Admeva Esim, up until 120 trumpets. Shemak says the Pasuk in Divri Yom and Beis. Says Vimoim Kahanim Lameya Ve'esim, that with them were the Kahanim, there were 120, Machatzrim Bechatzaitz, they were blowing the trumpets. You see, they had 120 blowing the trumpets. Now the Mishnah said also Mitisha Kinaris Vachulu, that we don't have less than 9 harps, but Tzitzelavad, and only 1 symbol. Says Imam Menon, immediately, where do we know that there's only 1 symbol and nothing more? So Amar Ravasi says, because Amakra, the Pasuk Dibri Yom Alv, it says Va'asaf, 1 Levi, Bamitzaltayim, and the Gemara says Mashmiya, that he was making the noise with the symbol. So you see, it's just 1 Levi, only 1 symbol. Says Imam, but Mitzaltayim Trehav, that's in the plural. That sounds like there was 2 symbols. Says the Gemara, Kivan the Chada Vidta'avdi, since it does 1 function. I mean to say, 1 symbol without the other one doesn't do anything, because what the symbols are, it's 2 pieces of wide pieces of metal, you bang one on the other. And the Chad Gava of it, it's 1 person that plays that, so Karlu Chad, it's called 1. So although we're saying in the plural, because literally it's 1 pair, it's 2 metal pieces, but it's really 1 instrument because you bang them together, and therefore that's like what we said in the Mishnah, that we don't have more than 1 symbol. Mark continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of Ein Peichsin Mishneim Us Levim Imdim Aladuchan. We don't have less than 12 Levim standing on the platform when they're singing their song by the Karbanas. But you could have as many as they want. Says the Mishnah, Eina katan nichnas la'azar la'avoda. A minor does not come into with the Levium into the courtyard to do any service whatsoever. Let's say to clean up the courtyard or to close the doors. He's not allowed to do the avoda. Ella b'shash ha'levim, but only when the Levium come and they stand on the platform and oimim b'shir and they sing the song, then the minor Levium could come in and sing with them. Now, however, but those minors were not oimer b'nevel v'chiner. They don't sing the song with any of the instruments, with the navel or the harp. Ella b'peh. Rather, they could only sing with their mouths. Could they lead in tevel b'ne'ima, so that they could give a spice to the sweetness of the song of Levim, because since the voices of the minor Levim is very thin and it harmonizes the singing of Levim, so therefore they let them in only for that. Now, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, he says, but ain't oil in the minyan. They're not counted for the minimum of Levim that we said that you have to have 12 Levim that are on the platform singing. And also, v'ein oilin, they don't go on the platform that are prepared, l'duchan, for this, what we call duchan, and what the Kohanim do. They go up on the platform, and they also do Birchas Kohanim over there, where the Levim sing, el ba'aretz ha'yamdin. Rather, the miners would stand on the ground, v'rashayim bein rak le'alevim, and their heads were between the legs, that's how it appeared, because Levim are on the platform, and the miners, their heads are between the legs of Levim. V'tzari ha'levim ha'in the Kohanim, they were called, the ones who cause pains to Levium, as the Gemara will explain why would they call the pain for the Levium. Now the Gemara wonders, how connected me this that we said that there's 12 Levium that stand on the platform, what does that correlate to? So Amar Papa, it's connected Tisha Kineris, Vishnei Naval, Mitzil Selechad. It's like we said, that those are the minimum instruments that we have, that you said you don't have less than 9 harps. There's 2 Naval, and there's 1 cymbal, that's 12. Shneimak says the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, who, and the Gemara says, V'echav Uvanav Shnei Maser, which that's by a Pasuk, by Asaf, the Levi that we mentioned before, him and his brothers and his sons were 12, so we see that that's how many you need to have that are 12 on the platform. Now the Mishnah said, "Ein akat nichnas la'azar la'avoda." The minor Levi cannot come into the courtyard to do the service of the Levim. Ela b'shosh Levim b'chulu, rather when the Levim are singing, then they could come in and harmonize and sing with the Levim. Says the Gemara, "Not merely, where do we know this from, that the minor could come into the courtyard to sing at the time when the Levim are getting onto the platform?" So I'm being, and this is because the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Sefer Ezra, the Yama Yeshua, Banav, Echav, his sons, his brothers, Kadmiel, Uvanav, him and his sons, Bnei Yehuda, the sons of Yehuda, Ke'echad, like one, Lenatzeach, Al Oise, Malacha, to conduct for those who do the service, Beveis Lekim, in the house of God, Begim, etc. Which the proof from this Pasuk is that, being learned out from the extra words in the Pasuk, because it says, B'neim v'acheim ha'levim, his sons, his brothers, levim. Now the thing is, it already said, Yeshua banav, Kadmiel banav, B'nei Yehuda, B'nei Tenadid, it already says him and his sons. So why does it say at the end of the Pasuk again, B'neim, their sons? It already mentions each one's sons. Rather, it's coming to say, an additional sons, even the minors that they come in when they're singing the songs and they sing together with the levim. Now, but the Mishnah said, but they didn't play any of the instruments, rather, they sang with their mouth. But says the Gemara, it says, they didn't play with the navel or the kinner. Says the Gemara, remember, is that to say, the navel l'chud, the kinner l'chud, that the navel, that instrument, is a different instrument than the kinner, than the harp. Says the Gemara, let's say our Mishnah is not like a Yehuda. Why? Because the tongue learned the Bryce. I mean, he says, kinner shall mikdash. The harp that was used in the Beis HaMikdash is Shal Shivas Ninim Haya, was a 7-string harp. Shlomo says the Pasuk in Tehillim says Soiva Smachis Espanecha, that the satiation of joy of seeing your face, says the Gemara, Al Tikri Soiva, don't say that there was satiation of seeing Hashem's face in the Beis HaMikdash, El Sheva, you can read it. Rather, 7. It was a 7-stringed harp. V'shal Yimaisa Mashiach, Shmain, in the days of Mashiach, it's going to be 8 stringed harp. Shnemak says in Pasuk in Tehillim, L'matzeach al Hashminis, for the conductor on the 8th, al Nim Hashminis, means on the 8th string, that it's going to have 8 strings. Shaloi l'maba eser, in the world to come, the harp is going to have 10 strings. Shnemak says in Pasuk in Tehillim, Ali aser on the 10th stringed one, v'ali navel on the navel, alehi goyin bekinar, from those who sing with the kinar. Now, additionally, Va'im of the Pasuk says, so we see it's Ali aser, and that's what we're assuming now, that navel and kinner are the same thing. So this pasuk is talking about one theme, and this is talking about regarding Olam Haba. Vaymesotu says in the pasuk until him, Hoidu Hashem bechinner, give thanks to Hashem with the harp, benavel aser, with the navel that's of 10 strings, zamer loy sing to him. And this is talking about the world to come, because from the fact that the pasuk says, Shiru loy shir chadish, sing to him a new song, and it says it in the masculine, shir, not shira. Now, the reason for that is because in this world, shir is called shira in the feminine terminology. Like the Mechilta says, just like a female gives birth, so too these salvations also end up giving birth to additional pains afterwards. But the shira of the world to come is a shir, a lashon zachar, which doesn't give birth. That's it, that's the end. The song is all that there is. Now, but one thing is, from the fact that Yehuda was saying that how do you know that the kinnor, the harp in the future, is going to have 10 strings, is from the words benavel aser. Obviously, the kinnor is a navel. And our Mishnah, which counts them as different instruments, is obviously not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, nafel tem Rabbi Yehuda. You could even say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. But, and Rabbi Yehuda agrees that they're different instruments. But lo'il ma'ba, in the world to come, I did in a fishi, nimin today, since as he's showing that its strings will be many, more than it is in this world, so nafish kali ki navel. So then its sound is going to be additionally beautiful. It's going to have the sound like the navel, which the navel, Rashi says, is like the bellows of the smith, which it's a wind instrument. But although the kinnor, the harp, is a stringed instrument, but it's going to have that beautiful sound like the navel. So kari le navel. So the pasuk is calling it a navel, but really a different instrument. But you could learn out that it's going to have 10 strings from what's called the usser navel. We're saying that we're using the word navel to tell you benavel usser, because we're calling it a navel, but really it's a kinnor. But really they're different instruments, and the Mishnah could even be like a Yehuda. Now the Mishnah said, Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Aim, he says, Ein oilem en aminyan v'chulu, these minors, they can't be counted for the minimum of the 12, etc. And the Mishnah said that they're called tzayari alevim, those who paint the levim. But Tanu Lidna Braisa that says, v'soya de alevim haidnekram, they were called those who assist the levim. Now, but v'tanu didan, the Tanu of our Mishnah, and you're right, that they did assist, they made it more harmonious, but the Tanu of Mishnah, call them tzayari, the ones who paint, because kivin dahani, since these miners cut and kilayu, their voice is very thin. The hani av kilayu, but the adults, their voice is deep. Hani mikatati. So it comes out that the miners, they can make their voice very thin and beautiful. The hani loy mikatati, and adults can't. So kavri luhutari. So they call them those who paint, because they paint levim, that they can't get up those high, soft notes and thin like the minors, and therefore the Tanu of Mishnah calls them Tzaya Levim, although, like the Braisa says, they were Tzaya de Levim, and they together made that beautiful song of the Levim. Hanulach Ein Arachem, I shall return to you the second parak, Mesechus Erechin, parak Ein Arachem. I spoke about this theme that we said that just like an Erechin, there's not less and there's not more than a certain amount, so to all these other themes. And now we begin the third parak Yesh Barachem, the third parak, which talks about also a theme that relates to Erech and then also to other areas of Halacha regarding things that have a set amount. And therefore, that things that have a set amount, like Yesh Barach, and you find by the laws of Erechin, Lahakal Olahachm, it's going to come out to be sometimes a leniency, sometimes it's going to be a stringency. So to Ubisteachuz, you have the same thing when someone sanctifies his ancestral field, which means to say the field that was divided amongst the Jewish people and his family got it in the days of Yeshua, which continues to come back every year, even if it's sold in the year of Yevil, that lahak alahachmer, that you also have, when you makdash it, a leniency and it can be a stringency. Ubeshar hamud, shehemes ha'evet, so too is regarding the ox that is a shar hamud that already gored three times that kills a slave, there's also a leniency and a stringency. And ba'inis of mefato, of a maiti shemra, also if a man rapes a woman, seduces a woman, or if, when he got married to her, he spreads a bad word about her that says that there was no virginity, there's also lahak alahachmer, those penalties that the man gets, also are leniency and a stringency. As the Mishnah begins with the halacha of our Mesechta. Yesh be'erichin, lahak lahachmer ketzad. How is it that regarding the laws of Erichin, that, as we say, that the Torah gives a specific set amounts for the gender and for the age of a person if one is taking the Erichin to give to the Bedek Abayis, how is that a leniency or a stringency? So it says the Mishnah, echad she'erich. Someone takes the Erich value of a specific person. So esanosha be'yisrael, even if it's the most beautiful Jewish person around, who his value, monetary value, would be, let's say, 100 mana, or v'esakir shabisol, even the most ugly, despicable person that there is in the Jewish people, either way, neisen chamishim sela. If he's a male between the ages of 20 and 60, even if, let's say, he's most beautiful, that would be sold for 100, so the leniency, you're going to give 50. And the stringency is that if someone takes the erich value of even the most ugly, despicable person that there is, and his value would only be sold in the market for 5 slum, there you have to give anyway 50 slum, since it's a set amount. Sometimes it's going to be leniency, sometimes it's going to be stringency. Now, but says the Mishnah, Vim Amma Hari Dama Valai. But if let's say he says that his monetary value is Ami, that's a neder of Damim, not of Erichin, then Nishavi, then you give the actual value. The beautiful person, give 100, the ugly, give 5. But regarding Erichin, sometimes it's lenient, sometimes it's stringent. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Yeshba Erichin Lahakal, and the Gers takes out the word Chulu, Ulahachmer, sometimes it's lenient, sometimes it's stringent, Kate said, how so? So the Mishnah went on to say, Echad Sheherich Vachulu, if someone takes an Erichin vow of the most beautiful person Shebi Yisrael, or the most ugly person Shebi Yisrael, either way you're going to give 50. Now the Gemara makes an inference, however, Bi Yisrael in. The wording that the Mishnah used was, Eshano Shebi Yisrael, Eshaker Shebi Yisrael. It was talking about taking the Erich vow of a Jew. So it sounds like only of a Jew, but Be'evikachav Malay. But if let's say someone, if a Jew says, I want to take that Erichin of that non-Jew, so he hasn't said anything because a non-Jew is not the subject of an Erichin vow. Because it was why we're saying Bishab Yisrael. Le masnin, the like Remeir. So we say that our anonymous Mishnah is not like Remeir. Because the non, we learn the Mishnah Mesech in Daf Heim Abayis that regarding Oivik Echavim, regarding non-Jews, so we have an inverted Machlekes between Remeir and Yerbihuda. One says one way and the other one says the exact opposite. Remeir, he says, Nerech Avalei Marech. Says the non-Jew could be the subject of the Erichin vow, but cannot take the Erichin vow himself. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the exact opposite, that he could be the subject, that he cannot be the subject, but he could take the Erichin vow. As the Gemara explains over there on Daf Heyam Abayis. But one thing is, Rameh says he could be, and our Mishnah seems to indicate that he cannot be. So the Gemara, full time Rameh, you could even say a ton of Mishnah like Rameh. Who adin the falev kachav nami? The truth is that even the subject of the Erichin vow could be a non-Jew. Ella, rather, as a contained type of Yehuda Alam and Alav, the reason why we didn't say it with a non-Jew is because we wanted to teach you something else incidentally. We didn't want to tell you that if, let's say, he took a Erichin vow of the most beautiful non-Jew, because it's forbidden to mention that there's beauty regarding a Kanani. He says, it's forbidden for a person to say, how beautiful is this non-Jew, this Kanani? Like it says in the Devarim Zayin, Lo Yisachanim, regarding the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, don't favor them, which also could be read as, don't give them chen, don't find favor in them. So you can't say, oh wow, how beautiful he is. And therefore we didn't want to say in the Mishnah, oh, even if it's the most Noah Shebe Canaan or the most Kir Shebe Canaan, because we don't want to say Noah on the Canaan. But really the truth is the Erichin Vav could even be of a non-Jew. But then the Gemara says, okay, but listening as a Noah Shebe Yisrael, we're talking about that it's a leniency and a stringency, the most beautiful, the most ugly. Say, even if it's the most beautiful Jew, Vesakir Shebe Canaan, or the most despicable Canaanite, then you could have alluded to the fact that the Erichin is even the subject of a non-Jew, and then you could have mentioned the Noah Shebe Yisrael. Says, we're talking about one people. Betray Umaloy Mary, we're not talking about two different people. It's not going to mention Jews and non-Jews in the same halach. That's not the case. But for Ketani, but we learned in the Mishnah Amud Beis that when continues the theme that we started in our opening Mishnah regarding leniency and stringency, regarding Oynes and Mefata, regarding seducing or raping a woman, the Mishnah says, whether it's Hagadol Shebe Kohuna, whether she's the most greatest of the most distinctive lineage of the Kahanim, Vesakatana Shebe Yisrael, or even the most smallest family in the Jewish people, either way, it's going to be that set amount, which could be a leniency or a stringency. But one thing is, you see, you're talking about two different peoples, in the same context, you're saying in one, you're talking about Kahanim, and the one you're talking about Yisrael. So the Gemara, no, Hasam Charumuhu, that's one people, it's all from the Jewish people. El Mikadish Hudikadish, Kahanim's face, just the Kahanim are more sanctified, but it's not two different people. And therefore, that's not a difficulty, why here we're not going to talk about Yisrael and Kahanim. Ovi one says the Gemara, you can answer the question that really, like we're saying, could even be like Remeir. It really, the Erichin vow, the subject could be the non-Jew. But I did the Kabbalah Mishnah Sefer Steachuza, since one of the later halachas we wanted to mention, as we mentioned all the categories in our Mishnah, was regarding the ancestral field, which has leniency and astringency. The Bisrolhu the Mishkachasla, which that only pertains to a Jewish person. But if Kachavim le Mishkachasla, you don't have the halachas of Steachuza, which means to say that set amount of that the redemption from Hektish is going to be with 50 silver shkalim, rather by a non-Jew, he redeems it according to its actual value. The lab and the achuz, and the reason is because they're not considered that they have the ancestral halacha in Eretz Yisrael. Didn't get divided amongst the non-Jew. He might have bought it at some later time, but he doesn't have the halacha of Steachuza. Therefore, ninu, they're not part of the bnei achuza. That's why anyways, for a later halacha had to be a Jewish person. So therefore, in the context we're just mentioning regarding Jewish people, but really it could still be like Remeir that the subject of the Erichin vow could even be a non-Jew.